Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today with me, I have Ryan Powell of Indie Labs coming to us from San Francisco. Ryan, how's your day going?
Pretty good. We're just getting the work morning. Looks like a pretty nice day outside, so I'm excited to get started.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time today. So I'd love to just start out hearing about, you know, what is Indie Labs and where'd you come up with this idea? What's the genesis story?
So Indie Labs is developing scalable hardware for gene delivery. What's that for is we deliver genetic materials to kind of biological cells. Basically immune cells, like the ones that, you know, are floating through your bloodstream. The reason you want to do this is because there's a lot of excitement around immunotherapy, or these kind of engineered immune cells that are called chimeric antigen receptor T cells. And they can go in and make, you know, more or less kind of make your late stage cancer kind of evaporate. But there's no really good way to manufacture these cells. You've got an amazing therapeutic with beautiful clinical data, but no good way to make them for lots of people. So our goal is to come up with tools to manufacture those therapies in kind of a more scalable and efficient manner.
And in the end goal, you're providing kind of the tools to do this. You're not creating the immune therapies yourselves, right? You're sort of the equipment supplier to drug companies. Is that an accurate statement or not quite?
Yeah, that's fairly accurate. So what we're doing is we're developing a tool for that kind of the first initially discovery stage scientists will use to discover and develop these therapies. And then that same exact tool will then go through kind of what's called CMC, or kind of the industrialization of the manufacturing process. And then, you know, goes through clinical trials, and eventually the same exact tool is used to manufacture these therapies. We basically design and develop these kind of kits and instruments for developing and eventually manufacturing the therapies.
So your customers would be research labs or actual drug companies or, you know, big pharma. Who's the end customer for these?
So we are targeting recently financed Series A plus funded biotechs and your publicly traded biotechs, your big biotechs, and your big pharma companies. We do a little bit of work with academics, but for the most part, we are focused on recently funded Series A plus funded biotechs, and then also we're talking about big pharma.
Interesting. So I noticed you have a PhD. Where did you come up with this idea? Where'd this come from?
Well, I don't actually have a PhD.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw that on PitchBook. Maybe they've got their data wrong.
Yeah, no. I think I almost have one. I was doing intern at a medical device company, and then was looking at kind of manufacturing medical devices, and then I read a book kind of about regenerative medicine and stem cells, and then decided to kind of do research and development into tools for kind of processing these stem cells and regenerative therapeutics. So I've looked at kind of cell culture, cell separation, manufacturing, qualifying all of these different devices. And we were looking at how these cells kind of flow through post arrays. So think of it like a microscopic Plinko board. And then we realized that if you flow cells through fast enough, you can kind of effectively open up tiny holes in the cell membrane, allowing for stuff to get in.
Interesting. Yeah, we're right at the kind of cusp where this is going to be over my head, but I kind of get it. I pretty much get it. How far away are we from having engineered immune cells? I mean, is this 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, longer?
So it's been really exciting times for these kind of engineered immune cells. There are two therapies, or three now, I think, were approved by the FDA, and they've received reimbursement. I think it's from Medicare. It's happened. They're out there. They're approved by the FDA. And there's a whole ton of clinical trials, and there's even more happening every year. So, it's real. It's been approved by the FDA. They've been infused into patients, hundreds of patients. And now I think the goals are to try and improve manufacturing and accelerate development processes.
Interesting. So possibly in the next 5 years, we'll be seeing this fairly, widespread, would you say?
I'd say 3 to 5, maybe 7. Right now, the focus seems to be on what are called relapse or refractory disease, or late stage advanced patients with really advanced disease that is, already tried to treat other ways multiple times. There is a little bit of work going on using these therapies as a frontline treatment, because the kind of clinical data shows that if you treat people with these therapies earlier, they have the best outcomes. But it's too cumbersome to manufacture them to use them as a frontline treatment for everybody. So I think the initial focus was on kind of late stage advanced patients where there weren't really any other options at present. So this kind of experimental genetically modified cells is, a viable choice at that point.
Very interesting. Well, it's certainly encouraging. It's kind of interesting timing as we are having this conversation. My mom is getting a pea-sized tumor removed from her breast. It's like a cancer tumor. So it's interesting to see companies like yourselves, kind of attacking this in different ways. So very encouraging. Awesome. So let's talk about raising money for this. I'm looking at, kind of your funding history and some of the interesting sources. I mean, you've got a couple accelerators on here. You've got Founders Fund. You've got Australian government. It sounds like a pretty circuitous path. So maybe talk about how much money have you guys raised and how many rounds?
So we've kind of just called it an angel round and a seed round, mm-hmm. although it's not quite that clear cut. And then we have a bunch of non-dilutive funding, including that kind of government grant contract out of Australia. And then we have some other kind of tax incentives that we've taken advantage of. So I think the total tally ends up being about 5.4 million US. And then we basically got started with IndieBio. At that time, we were kind of had some very basic proof of concept data that the technology worked for a cell model with membrane impermeable dyes. And then we kind of ended up raising about 500K total then. And then we did sort of another angel round as a part of Y Combinator roughly a year later. Mm-hmm. So that brought it up to about our angel accelerator funding was a total of about 1.3 million.
So let's touch on that for a minute. So IndieBio, for anyone who's not familiar, this is just a health-focused accelerator, kind of a YC for healthcare, or what is IndieBio?
Yeah, so IndieBio is basically a means for funding, turning scientists into entrepreneurs, keen scientists into entrepreneurs. So they kind of will start at the concept stage, or they'll have, much more advanced companies come in there who are looking for kind of a kickstart. So they have a lab in a basement in the city too. So it's pretty great. You get the full package. You get the ability to do science and the funding to do it in with quick turnaround times for your responses.
Interesting. Where are they based?
They're based on 6 and Jesse Street in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, so you did IndieBio when you're pretty early, and then did you kind of immediately springboard into Y Combinator?
So we did that. We did YC kind of basically. We finished up the IndieBio in February, March, and then we did got into YC in December, and then we spent the next kind of 3 or 4 months doing their program, and then closed out an angel round on the back and some more angel financing on the back of that.
Great. What year was YC? So this is December of when?
December 2016 was when we got in, and then March was demo day 2017.
I mean, YC historically hadn't done a lot of healthcare. Were you sort of one of the first cohorts or batches that was doing some bio or health stuff, or had they done others?
There are a fair amount of alumni who I have spoken to both beforehand and during about being YC as healthcare focused, and including Pearlstein Labs, and you have notable labs where they're doing full on wet lab biotech work, as opposed to just more like your kind of computational application to bio. So yeah, they had some experience with biotech before, Paramount before I got in, and they're doing making a big push in the biotech front. So it is pretty exciting to see how things are accelerating in that area.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we have, Jarrett Glasscock. He's a customer of ours, and he's, I think, mentoring some of the more recent YC healthcare bio track companies. It sounds like they're sort of focusing on that. I think he might even be putting together like a syndicate to invest in them as a class. So that's kind of cool.
Him and I are both, he's the senior venture partner and I'm venture partner in Pioneer Fund. So I know him pretty well. And I think he used your CRM for part of one of our processes. So I have used Founder Suite, but maybe not for its intended purpose.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like him a lot. He's a good guy. So say hi to him. Okay, awesome. So YC, so you get out of YC, your demo day in early 2017. And at that point, you're raising the angel round, right?
Yeah. So we've basically been like a tranche, like a two-stage angel round. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So it was IndieBio and then some cash, some investment on the back of that, and then YC and more.
And what were you pitching? I mean, it's interesting when I think about your business and how I would pitch it. I mean, there's obviously the cool science aspect. You're also, probably maybe there's a mission play. You could be pitching investors who have a direct connection to cancer or, things like that. Like, what were you kind of pitching at demo day?
We had data that we could deliver molecules to immune cells, and we had kind of a nice story around the market and the way things were working on that front. So we were pitching our science and the market, and then it was a pretty small team at that point in time, so we didn't actually have a team slide.
Interesting. Okay. And were the angels you identified mainly coming through YC? Were they there at demo day, or how did you identify your? Let's talk about your angel round, basically. How did you kind of put together that list and raise that money?
So, YC kind of puts that together for you. That's kind of one of their big value adds. They set you up with they basically help teach you, help turn you into an investable business in a period of 3 months, and then they set you up with investors who are very interested in investing. So, that's kind of their. That's their thing. They're really good at it. We did demo day, and they give you like a list of interested investors that like what you're up to, and then they set you up with kind of an intense investor day where you meet the ones that you think are going to be the most the highest probability of investing. So. Kind of the cool part that YC does is they have, they really only invite what I'd call high conviction investors to demo day, ones who are probably going to invest and that can make those decisions themselves. So that's something that I think I've learned is that you do need to figure out who are those high conviction investors so you don't spend time with people who are able to make a decision.
Yeah.
Angel round. So we basically, we met the investors, and then they go through your materials. They run it. If they don't have the technical expertise to check it out themselves, they run it by a friend. Then you answer questions either via email, Skype, phone call, meeting, whatever. I've normally been pretty open to investors checking stuff out. Like I'll kind of, if you want to talk to me, you can come to my lab and we'll show you how everything works kind of upfront.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a great strategy to do, especially in light of like Theranos and, that whole debacle. So being overly upfront and inviting people into your lab is probably a really good approach. Yeah. Which is my two cents.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're willing to open the kimono for anything, it's the same thing. It's the same process in business development too. Like if I want people to come meet everybody who's working on the project to see our lab, to see what we're doing and that kind of thing, because, that's my way of doing things. You want to meet the people you're going to do business with.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I interrupted your flow though. So you're doing meetings, you're getting people kind of plugged in with the technology and all that stuff, and then what?
And so then it basically it comes time to talk terms. What we've kind of done is we ended up raising a staged seed round. What I try and do is come up with what's a fair cap, or what are fair terms? And then somebody wants to kind of advise that, you want to give everybody, you want to make it easy for them to say yes. So if they're interested in investing and they view it as a good deal, then that's something that makes for an easier yes. Whereas if set some astronomical, pre-money price or something like that, then you're going to have, you're going to set yourself back, because you might have some interested investors who are, willing to invest. But if you set unrealistic terms or valuations, then you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
Interesting. Make it easy to say yes. That's good. So that's mostly on valuation or terms. And actually, rewinding just a second, is YC still kind of pushing the safe, or were you guys doing a convertible note, or what was the actual, or just a priced round?
So we've done a nice blend of all three. Mm-hmm. First investment was a convertible note / equity round, and then the rest of them were safes. Pretty much plain vanilla safes. We have an Australian subsidiary, so we have had to put some terms into our safe around that being a wholly owned subsidiary that can't be sold. So I would say safes are a beautiful thing. And then you have less kind of accounting issues with them and all this other stuff. So, if I were to do it again, I would just do safe valuation cap and maybe a discount rate to give investors a little bit more security over pricing. So I would just do that. And then we're kind of finding that, any of the, extra terms that were put into these agreements that weren't kind of the YC standard safe, they really just slow you down. So I think the safe was invented for a reason, and it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, good. And then I'm not sure where along the timeline this fit in, but you raised money from the Australian government, so or some sort of government related fund. So talk about that. Where'd that come from?
So I think if you're in biotech and there are grant calls and you can write a grant for your area, that's a very useful tool, both in terms of money in the bank if you're successful, and then it's an extra validator. So I lived in Australia for 5 years before I came to San Francisco. And so I have a lot of contacts down there, a good understanding how kind of all the different incentives that they have. So we have two major things out of Australia. One was what's called an overseas finding, where Australia will give you 43.5% of your money back research and development activities. And if they occur overseas, you just have to get the activities approved once every 3 years. So we get... Basically, the way that system works, there's some intercompany complexities and all this other stuff that you kind of have to wrap your head around. But let's say I go raise, $10 million and I get the project approved, my R&D activities approved again, it effectively works out to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that we have is, it's great because you get all this extra cash, and we have a lot of work getting done in Australia. So that kind of really helps fund our efforts down there. Also, or allows us to accelerate them. The other one is a grant app that would grant / government contract, where we basically put in an EOI covering our efforts. Then they do that's first filter, and then the second one is a full grant application, and then all that goes through an expert review panel. So it's kind of I think it's a good proxy for revenue for biotechs in the early stages. I have some other friends who've raised their Series A and the kind of these government grants and contracts are a good validator of kind of the commercial progress and the potential commercial outcomes of your science. So I would say anyone who's doing biotech needs to apply for these types of grants.
And so, usually when governments are behind this, they're trying to either create jobs in their ecosystem or you know, bring companies. So what did you have to do? You have to open an office in Australia? Like, how did you get money? What were the kind of strings attached to that?
We are already operating in that way. So we have, we get all of our devices made in South Australia, and we have our instrument being developed in Sydney. And then we had a kind of, initially it was basically friends on advisor, you know, work friends on advisor agreements, where they were equity. And then now we've sort of brought on a consultant, and then as the workload increased, and then now we've got, we have a proper office in Sydney. One FTE, and then we're hiring, I think, two more people right now. So it'll bring us up to about four in Australia.
Interesting. But you don't have to be headquartered there to raise money from the Australian government.
No, this program was pretty flexible. I've done applications to other ones where the contracts are restrictive. So normally you can get you can apply for the grant. You can apply to anything, right? You can, but it's best to talk to the program manager first to see if they actually will read it, if they're interested. But sometimes the funding can be restricted to the specific location. Other times it might not be, or there, you know, a portion of it can be spent overseas or something like that. You gotta familiarize yourself with the grant call first.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, and then let's keep going here. And then so more recently, you raised a round from Founders Fund. So maybe talk about that.
So if you're an early stage company and you're kind of angel funded, it's, you know, you've got a cool idea, a good story, and you know, some proof of concept. Then angel funding is what you're going to get. And then you need to have more kind of validation in order to want to get onto the VCs. One thing that we've found pretty amazing during this, you know, next bit of the most recent fundraises, we sort of had all these kind of champ, you know, our angel investors, we hit our milestones. So our angel investors liked us. That was pretty important. And then they kind of provided warm introductions to VCs. And then, you know, we always said, this is met the VCs, you know, we did our thing, showed them our lab, when they're interested, and then went back to work, and then came back out, you know, however many months later, once we hit our milestones, and we said, hey, you know, we're going to go, do another fundraise. We talked about fundraising with you. I think now is kind of the time to get serious with it. And that's kind of what happened. And then we do full due diligence on the science data, on the opportunity, the market, why we're doing things the way we're doing, why we're not doing things another way, and that kind of thing. So we ended up raising from Social Capital Founders Fund and Main Sequence Ventures, which is the kind of like the top deep tech VC in Australia. So it ended up being a few VCs.
Interesting. So, okay, I want to dig into something you just kind of said there a little bit. So you hit your milestones, your angels loved you. So what were some of the milestones that you, you know, put forth to the angels that you were able to hit? And then if I understand what you said you started talking to VCs, you kind of put forth future milestones and then came back months later having hit them. So maybe that's interesting, kind of creating that, like, here's what we're going to do. Hey, look, I'm back in your office 4 months later and we did it. Maybe talk about that. What were some of the, you know, details, if you can?
So the way our business, so we are developing an extremely complicated technology. So I'm an engineer with interest in biology, and I kind of have understand the way the fluid dynamics work. That's where the invention came from. But now we're functionally modifying immune cells, which is complicated. There's a whole different, you know, there's lots of different kinds of immune cells, and there's lots of different stuff you can deliver to them. And then, you know, all these different things matter about our technology. So when we did kind of, basically it was a concept with some proof from what we call like a model macromolecule and a model cell type around any bio. And then we kind of proved out the chips with a model immune cell and some slightly more advanced model macromolecules. And then afterwards we started kind of functionally modifying human primary immune cells. To that. So we basically went from, you know, proof of concept science that might be interesting in an academic environment to scientific data that demonstrated that we could probably make these engineered immune cells. And that was the that was kind of the major technical milestone. And so we had to hire the right people, some of the right people to do that. We had to buy a bunch of kit, and then we had to just smash out a lot of science.
Cool. So when you were going into Founders Fund, I mean, that's, you know, arguably one of the top, I don't know, top 10 funds in Silicon Valley. What was your pitch then? You had effectively kind of proven this model out?
So we had shown that we could functionally modify immune cells without perturbing them at that point. So we had just showed that our technology, that our science data was much better than competing technologies based on a literature comparison. So there's two ways people can modify these cells. They typically do it with viruses. A virus basically delivers genetic material to cells, you know, and that's what it does. And that's what they've been doing for millions to billions of years. So biologists have adapted those to making these immunotherapies. And then the other way is you can kind of, what's called electroporation, where you just electrocute the cell just enough to let these constructs into the cells. So we went through the literature, and we put together like a technical comparison as to why we're better than those technologies.
Okay. Excellent. Any interesting stories about, did you get to meet Peter Thiel at Founders Fund or?
No, we, so we worked with their chief scientific officer primarily. We were introduced to him by one of our angel investors, who's been pretty amazing, Jude Camila. And then we showed him the science. We told him this is what we're doing with our current fundraise, and this is when we're planning on kicking things off. So after we hit our milestones, and around that time, we just called him back and said, "Hey, we're looking to do the fundraise. Are you guys seriously interested?"
Awesome.
Whole process.
Okay, great. I won't keep you too much. A couple more quick questions. When I think of bio or any life science type of business, you think of massive rounds, you got to raise a lot of money. Is that in your future? Do you see, many, many years of fundraising ahead of you, or is this a leaner model for some reason? What do you think? What's the fundraising future look like?
Look, if you want to dive into therapeutics, then yeah, you're going to go raise your however many $100+ million, go get publicly traded and that kind of stuff, and spend, an enormous amount of time doing that. We have decided not to do that. And, our goal is to be kind of the go-to tool that is used to make all these different therapies, as opposed to trying to develop our own.
Yeah.
And that's pretty simple. People think therapeutics are incredibly valuable, but the annual revenues from one of these CAR T therapies look to be about $2 billion a year. And that seems to be pretty on par with like a blockbuster drug. But if you can go and get into have this be the go-to tool for making every single therapy, and the market supports a royalty on therapeutic sales, then your market gets a lot bigger. And you don't have to do as much work or raise as much money, right? Because you're going for a lower proof point. Your tools for biomedical manufacturing, so we don't require any regulatory approvals, and then you are used to make everybody else's therapies. So I don't really see this as like this long drawn out therapeutic development journey where we have 18 different candidates or whatever. We just want to be the tool that everybody uses to manufacture them. So like the hammer that builds all the houses.
This is maybe a naive question, probably is, but is there any way to get a piece of the upside on successful therapeutics that use your tool? I mean, is that a business model that exists?
Yeah. So oftentimes there's an upfront milestone and royalty based payments. So we're effectively a hit driven business, right? So we want to find the people who are developing the therapies that are most likely to be successful, and then we want to be in their entire pipeline. So that way, like the FDA, I think, approves 10% of it. Therapies make it through FDA approvals, but that data doesn't cover CAR T. So we basically want to have people who have a high probability of being successful therapies, and then we get a portion of therapeutic sales.
Interesting. Cool. Okay, last question. I'll let you get back to building this because it's a needed thing in the world. What advice would you give yourself if you were doing this all over again, especially in regards to fundraising? Or, you know, what generic advice would you give other bio life science founders just starting off on the funding path? Anything?
So yeah, I would say just like the easiest way to fundraise is to go to like one of these accelerators that has a great investor network, and they bring kind of the investor network to you, and they kind of, they do their due diligence on you. They make their everything cleaned up or if it needs to be, and then they turn you into an investable business. So for first time founders, I would say just that's the easiest way to do it. And
Yeah. Any others to look at besides IndieBio and YC? Are there other reputable life science incubators that you can think of?
Those are the two that I, those are the only two I'm familiar enough to vouch for, because they're the only two that I've done. We are also in with another incubator called QV3 at 953. It's not like it's not really like YC or IndieBio being an accelerator. It's like a good community where you kind of go from, you can basically go from one scientist and a rented bench all the way to an invested business with millions of dollars raised.
Give me the name of that again. I didn't catch it.
It's called, it was QB3 at 953. Now it is, called MBC Biolabs. But okay. So if you aren't doing, and I have some people who don't want to apply to incubators or accelerators, and some who do and some who realize they should have. But I mean, if you aren't doing that, you want to be in a community that's kind of in the same, you're in the same industry working on the same stuff, because there's a huge value add to that. Like you get grouped together, you get like discounts on reagents and that kind of stuff. Everyone's kind of in science, so you get a lot of help. Like you don't have a statistician and you need help with statistics, and there'll be somebody in the building who, you know, you can take to lunch or buy a coffee and that kind of thing. So I think even in the later stages, it's extremely helpful, or like seed stages, that's where we are. But I would just say, you know, find a kind of community that you can work with together on your project.
Cool. Awesome. Well, this is great. I'm going to let you go here. This is fantastic. If people want to learn more about you, it's indelabs.com, correct? I-N-D-E-E. Is that right?
Yeah. EELabs.com. Yeah.
And any plug you want to make, anything you're trying to hire for, or, you know, anything, any plug?
Yeah. So we are hiring microfabrication scientists and a microfabrication postdoc, and then also, and we're looking for an immunologist. So I think like fundraising is hard, but in biotech, hiring the right people afterwards is even harder.
Yeah, I bet.
Any referrals to those uniquely skilled scientists would be amazing.
Awesome, Ryan. Well, this is great. Really interesting stuff. Appreciate it. And best of luck for IndieLabs, and we'll catch you after your next round.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. Bye.